Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Kim DuBrule, and you are listening to Your Year of Transformation on Blog Talk Radio. And I am really excited about today. We are on a great series, and this is the fourth one. I started out kind of talking about my own stuff for 2019, what will I do differently? And I was joined by Sarah DeGray and Al Gettler, and now today I get to introduce you to Ron Patulski, and I'm super excited about that. We're going to talk to him, and he has no idea what we're going to be talking about, and I love that. I'm going to bring you on in a second, Ron. I just want to say I've known Ron for a long time, or Ronnie, as I really love to call him. We have known each other. When I started coaching, I met Ron working for a large company, and we were coaching lots of people, and Ron had some experience on me for sure and helped me through a lot of twists and turns, navigating a lot of things about the coaching world and working with a high volume of people, and a lot about business and coaching. I learned from Ron, I still think about every day, but even more importantly, I guess for me, it's not that it's more important, but, about living a good life, health, fitness, anything like that, that I learned from Ron. Has definitely stuck with me, and I hear myself repeating his wisdom all the time. And so when I started to think about this series and who I wanted to talk to about what they would do differently in 2019, I thought of Ron immediately. And I was right in the midst of, I had knee surgery and then had to take over a month off, and I was trying to console myself a month off from exercising and feeling sort of bad and worried that I was going to get out of shape. And these old words that echoed in my mind that Ron often said, which was take some time off, actually, just because, not because you had surgery, but just like take 2 whole weeks off and don't do anything and then come back to your workouts and you're going to go to another level. So I just kept telling myself, I wonder if Ron would say if I'm taking a month off, I'll even have better results when I come back. So maybe he'll give me 2 cents about that. But I want you all to hear Ron today because he can impact your life the way he has mine, and I'm just so excited. We were, kind of thinking about talking before today, and I really, decided I wanted to talk with Ron. We haven't talked in a while, and I wanted to hear everything for the first time fresh, kind of like all of you are as well, so that I can be even more excited and everything else that I'm going to be listening to what he has to say to us today. So without further ado, I am going to turn on your microphone, Ronnie, and here we go. Welcome, Ron.
Well, thank you, Kim, and it's so kind of you, and I'm trusting that our time together and the synergy between us will make a difference for those that are listening or ultimately will listen to this. So it sounds like I've got a tall order to fill, and we're just going to take and be our authentic selves. And, and I would say, Kim, one of the things that I have really, of the many things that I appreciate about you is you and I have been vulnerable with each other. We've been real over the years. We've both had our ups and downs with, in life and challenges and everything else. And yet, I think one of the things I really appreciate about you is that authenticity. And I just, that is something that I continue to be focused on for myself as being my authentic self, whatever the heck that means.
That's good. I think that's a good start. So this year, being your authentic self. Okay, we could probably stop right there. However, we will not be stopping right there. So we're going to start out the way I start with everyone in the series, but then it will go off in its own direction, which is the beautiful part. The first thing, though, I want you to be able to share with us is in 2018, what went well? What did you like the best about 2018? For you, personally.
2018, yes, yeah. Personally, 2018 was a very full year in terms of it was robust with life stimulus, And so we ended up, my wife and I worked for a company. She was an independent contractor. We left that company mid-year. My mother-in-law passed away. We've had all kinds of other life things happen. We moved. We sold the house that we had built 2 years ago, bought another one. We're living in temporary housing. So, you know, there was a lot of those kind of up, you know, those kind of things, what I call stimulus. And I think it's important to understand that we all have that. None of us are absolved. And what creates stress, at least from in my humble opinion, is not what happens to us, it's how we process that. And not to take that as anything like we're lesser than, that we can't process it, but I think there's really value in being able to have an awareness or develop awareness for yourself of keeping things into perspective and understanding, hey, there's a lot coming at me, there's a lot on my plate. And how am I doing with that? And leaving the judger out of it, like, well, I should be able to breeze through this or whatever. Anytime we're shooting on ourselves, we want to make sure that we, it actually is a great reminder or a great cue for us to step back and just take a look at, you know, how am I doing in this situation? But to answer your question specifically, you know, Kim, about what did I feel like did well in 2008, is maintained, you know, it's having the awareness, first of all, to maintain a perspective about what's happening and to be able to step back and do that with as much grace as possible on the journey that I'm on with where I am and where I want to go. So that's what I would say is probably, you know, probably the biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, and it sounds like the words that you're sharing about perspective and not what happens to you, but how you process it and not allowing that judger. You were not just having that be a theory in your life, but you put it into practice last year with all those things that were going on.
Well, let me put it this way. We learn things, and then life has a way of, and I don't like the word test, you know, like test us, because it can have a negative connotation. It gives us the opportunity to actually demonstrate, you know, how well have we learned something. And my definition of learning is maybe a little different than I don't believe that if I go to a seminar and that I've learned a whole lot, unless I take that afterwards and let it ingrain that through repetition and let it sink into my long-term memory. And I think we hallucinate that, you know, we go to a seminar, we're all excited about what we learn, and let's face it, 90 days later or 6 months later, how much do you truly remember about that seminar? So I think real learning is actually what you demonstrate as part of your being. And you think about it, like I truly did learn, you know, the multiplication table. And how I would be able to tell you that is if you ask me how much 6 times 6, I can tell you without even thinking, or 9 times 9 or whatever. Okay? So that's the difference between real learning and this quest for knowledge. And Kim, you and I, we laugh about this, right? Between the two of us, we probably own every book that's been printed to this point in time.
Yeah.
And
I knew you were going
yet
to say
we
that.
both have and yet we both have come to a realization in our own way around that. I realized for myself that I was stuck on in an order to thinking if I went to another seminar or read another book, then I would be that much smarter and effective, then I could teach it to somebody else. And it was probably one of the best gifts that I gave myself, was coming to that realization that I'm good the way I am. And yet, if I'm inspired for some new information, you know, from a book or a seminar, there's certainly more than I can learn. But now there's a certain grace to that path versus this constant, like, having to, you know, I should be doing this, or I have to learn more, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah, totally makes sense. I'm finally feeling like stepping up this year, realizing going to different seminars and things, which I will never stop, or reading books because I love it, but definitely taking a different look at what I'm ready for. And it's not about that I need to read one more thing to be ready. I think I start to notice now I am ready. Like, there's no more getting ready. I'm ready. And
Yeah.
now I do these things because I enjoy them, not because I think there's something missing. So, and you have said
Right.
that to me before, and you actually are probably the one that got me on the track of starting to think that way, and it probably took a few years, but after a while you do realize like you are ready to share what you learned, and we have a passion for that. So, that is so awesome. So now what about this year? So that year, last year that you had, was full of all kinds of, ups and downs and backwards, sideways, whatever direction you wanted to go. It was a full year of joy and of, sorrow, all kinds of things. So how has that gotten you ready for this year, and what will you do differently this year?
Sure. Well, and just the joy and the sorrow part, life is. I remember the Wide World of Sports used to have this clip in the beginning: the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And I don't know about you, somehow, like, I linked up. I think some of the way the world looks at things, or maybe it was just my warped way of of interpreting, is that victory is good and agony is bad. So when we win, that's good, and when we fail, that's bad. And actually, it's so refreshing to see. As I started to break that pattern and see that old program, that societal program about good and bad, and this winning and losing, and you don't you, you either win or you learn, type of thing. But what I'm excited to see, and there is a great book, if you haven't read this book, called Exponential Organizations, and that book, has the principle of where great organizations push the envelope to have something purposely break. So if you and I, Kim, were, software engineers or whatever, and we come up with this great product, the new exponential organizations, the ones that are really blazing the trails, we wouldn't be sitting on our laurels going, look at what we just invented. All right. We would be looking at it. What's going to break this thing? Is this thing going to hold up? And you know what? We want it to break, because that takes us to a whole nother level. And and so it's amazing to see that kind of energy and those best in class companies and the companies of the future. It seems that this is a quality that they're going to have, and likely is going to endure moving forward. So,
I love that. What else, Brock? Because I know you've got something
So
else.
as far as 2019, as far as like what's planned for 2019, I really do believe that, having had, last year, and I don't look at it as it's just a springboard. And I guess the thing is that we're all different, but I think that as we do our own personal work, and this is a personal journey, I came from a strict Catholic background, and I have nothing against religion. The only thing that I would say is, when we follow any type of system, all right, and a religion is a system, and you are going to follow those rules, it's going to put you in a position of being positional. And so when that happens, you start to, you without even knowing it, you're holding your position. And when somebody else is supposedly, to be working in that same system, and they're not, you're going to take and start judging them. Does that make sense to you, Kim?
Yes, totally makes sense.
So with that said, what I found for myself was I was extremely judgmental. Now I'm just judgmental. I was extremely judgmental, in terms of progress.
And honest, right.
Well, and so the reason I even bring that up is, I have no judgment around, let me put it this way. It appears to me, and nothing that I say is, you know, I believe is the truth. It just occurs this way. I believe that last year served me well. It was part of my path. I was meant to go through it, and I have no regrets. I wasn't wishing that it's over, and yet I'm empowered by it because I got to see, you know, stepping back, you know, just how did I react to it? What did I feel good about, and what would I like to do differently around that? And I think we all are in those positions, whether we have a difficult conversation with somebody, if we're, you know, if we're letting an employee go, or, you know, do we, you know, how do we handle that? And we're not perfect. I think that's really important to understand. So just to be, you know, to be in a position where, you know what, if something doesn't go right, you know, right meaning that's our judgment, according to the way we expected it to go, how is that necessarily a bad thing? What can we learn from that? Truly learn from that. And as I think our listeners, the more they can embrace this, and everybody's going to be at their different place. There may be some listeners right now going, this guy's nuts, okay? And that's okay. You know, this is an experiential thing. And one of the most important things that I would encourage everybody is there is a distinction that I heard from a mentor of mine, where he made this distinction between experience, which is essence, and belief, which is perspective. This is a real, I mean, this for me was a game changer. So I think the easiest way to put this into context would be this quote by Carl Jung, or this story about Carl Jung. Carl Jung, who was alongside of Freud, probably the two most impactful people in the world of psychology. Now, there might be some listeners that want to argue about that, and that's okay. But I think we can all agree they were influential in, you know, in the shaping of psychology and our perspectives and what we know about, you know, human psychology. Anyways, towards the end of his life, he was asked, "Do you believe in God?" And without really batting an eyelash, he said, "Believe in God? I know." And so what, you know, that really demonstrates the concept of essence versus belief. Do you believe in God? No. I know. What he was saying, he had his experience of God. All right. And that experience, you know, experience that he had. Now, albeit we filter through our mind, and it's always going to be an interpretation. What's really interesting, Kim, you know this, a lot of times we forget that there isn't another human being on the planet that is using the same exact rule book that we have. And even if they are, they're not interpreting every rule exactly the way we are. And I don't care if you have a twin sister, you know, brought up in the same household, you guys were joined at the hip, you know, the chances of you guys looking at something the same exact way is, well, I'll take that bet any time, all day long, right? That you're not going to see it that same way. All right. So, yeah. So that essence in that versus belief becomes really important. So, you know, with that said, as I look at 2019, last year was what it was. What did I learn? What would I do differently from a constructive perspective? Not anything like I did anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not broken. And now I'm empowered to look at what's next. Well, we started, you know, a new company, my wife and I and my daughter. It's a coaching company, as you know, Tim. And, what is it all about? You know, one of the things that, and this is what keeps me, I think, out of trouble. All right. I wake up every day and with two things, my own personal goal this year, it's been about the last 14 years. I don't think I'll ever fulfill it. And that's okay. Is, you know, so I, every day, today, tomorrow, as far as I know, you know, I get up every day in my meditate, in my early morning hours, reflecting on today's another day to be loving and kind to all people and all things at all times, in all situations, no matter what. So that is, you know, that is a
personal... That's a nice way to start the day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I, as you can imagine, I haven't been given the, nor do I want it, the title of, you know, Saint Ron. So that is not an easy thing to do every day. You know, you go to Starbucks and somebody cuts ahead of you, and, you know, sometimes you're not as loving and kind as you'd like to be because you're looking at your watch and you need to be at an appointment or whatever that may be. So that's, you know, but personally, this is another year for me to, you know, to experience and move more towards that. And to have that whole experience of when I am and when I'm not and what I would do different. So that's on a personal note. And on a company note, you know, we formed this company, and Kim, you've known us for a long time. And again, this is another one that keeps me honest, you know, and keeps, you know, my wife Kate and I and my daughter, but we are committed to this, is to be, as a company, to be an expression of prosperity and possibility, empowering others to freedom to experience their brilliance and live life fully. And here's the thing that I think is really important. We, you know, people, you know, will say, wow, what did you just say? Let me write that down, all right? And that's okay. You know, you can have that. The question is, what does that mean to you? Now we're talking about essence, all right? And so as a company, we just had a company meeting before this, an owner's meeting, and, you know, in our view, we're looking at where are we individually, you know, being an expression, example of prosperity to others. If somebody was a fly on the wall, you know, or they were in our mind, you know, would they be hearing the self-talk of somebody who is, you know, more expansive, looking at possibilities, looking at abundance and prosperity, or would there be something else going on? That keeps you, I mean, if you want to use the word honest or it keeps you definitely out of trouble in that area. And then, when you're that example, people feel that example, and so they're empowered in their own way, empowering others to freedom to experience their brilliance and live life fully. So how do we do this practically? You know, we're in the process of hiring coaches, so we're starting to, you know, to talk with potential coaches. We're also talking to potential employees and going through that process of hiring. And what this really means is we, along with the clients that we coach, we are, our goal is to have, attract, you know, clients, employees, and coaches where this resonates with them, where they want to, in their own way, be an expression of prosperity and possibility, you know, for others. And they're empowered the freedom to experience their own brilliance, and as a result, to live life fully. And so I don't know if that sounds idealistic to people. What I believe, at least in terms of hallucination around that, is it's not idealistic, because that is literally on my mind every week, you know, during my waking hours. So.
And, you know, I personally feel like going for ideal is what we should all be doing more of. I think that we've kind of, you know, squelched our dreams and put things on the back burner and started to think small in many ways. And I think getting back to ideal, which to me is big thinking, it ask for what's ideal and you could get it. But, you know, ask for something else and you're going to get that. So I love that you said idealistic, and I think it's great. So that's my viewpoint on that. but I want to say, Ron, I love talking to you so much. I'm so happy that we're doing this. And, you know, when you mentioned earlier in the conversation about opportunity and life gives you opportunity, and it's just so clear, and I want everyone listening to be able to connect this, that your view in the rear view mirror of last year is that of noticing all of the opportunity you had, no matter what was going on in life, to be your best self. And now you're looking back and noticing, where was I? Where wasn't I? What can I learn from this? And I'm taking all of that learning into 2019. And it's such a gift that you develop, but it's a viewpoint you have. It's a perspective and a choice. And I really just like to have that be out there, because you have a choice and a way of looking at things, and the way you look at things is going to determine what your experience is. And I just noticed I can do it for myself, and I know you could probably do it too, although, you know, you're Saint Ron, but, you know, the world, like, we can put ourselves into suffering so needlessly. And I really would love to hear you say a few words about, like, how do you stay out of suffering? Because it's so easy. Our minds can so easily lead us to places that it's not even real or necessary, but we're making stuff up, and yet we're suffering because of it.
Yeah. Well, before I address that piece, I think it's really important, you know, for the audience to hear this clearly. I really believe that I've been truly, truly blessed in this regard. I have the perspective or a mindset that comes from primarily my father's side of the family. And so, and just to demonstrate that, my father always saw, he was a half, you know, the glass is half full kind of guy. And so being around that, I was developed that way without even knowing it. And I know, you know, from coaching so many people, and Kim, you would know this too, there's many, you know, there's many people that they didn't have that kind of influence. So
right.
This could potentially be a stretch for them. And I think we do a disservice. I remember there was a famous person, you know, wrote many books and was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey, and it was doing an interview, and Oprah said at the end, you know, as we finish this up, is there any last words that you have for the audience? And the person said, it's so easy. It's so easy. And I gotta tell you, all right, and I know that that this particular person, you know, they didn't mean it maliciously, but that innocent comment, you know, I think could be very detrimental to people, because I was aware of this person's past. All right. And believe me, they had their stuff and they had their ups and downs. And so what I think was happening is, you know, they forgot. Okay, they forgot all those trial and tribulations, and again, not doing it purposely. So I think it's really, really important that, you know, people understand that if you grew up in a household, and believe me, Kim, you've been coaching a long time with the neural performance coaching that we do. People, we dive deep with people, and the things that people, human beings, have shared over the last 21 years that I've heard. Mm-hmm. It just brings, you know, it's such an honor and sacred space. And yet I'm like,
it's
wow, I realize like, no. And I realize what what these folks have gone through. And it just gives me so much more compassion and respect for them. So, you know, my point about this is that, you know, I have this outlook. I think I have, you know, advantage over folks that didn't have that kind of role model around them. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean that somebody, you know, can't develop this. But I do want to tell you something, you know, really funny to demonstrate this. My father's sister, my Aunt Gladys, you know, she passed away a couple of years ago. She was 99 in like 9 months old to her 100th birthday. We were planning a huge birthday party for her, and she passed away in that August, and her birthday was in October. But she's a perfect example of this. Like, you know, how does somebody do this? At 93, I remember calling me up and say, Ron, I'm going to give up my car because I don't think it's safe for other people. I said, okay, I think that's a good idea, you know. And she was exercising, and I get a call from my sister to, you know, could I get to the hospital because they were taking her in an ambulance. She was exercising. She was in exercise in her assisted living, and she, you know, they had her doing walking backwards, like as part of the exercise or whatever, and she fell backwards, and she hit her head, and she, you know, she broke open her skull, you know. And so I go to see her, and you know what she says to me? She goes, Ron, it could be worse. You know, I could have been dead, okay? But see, that's the way she looked at that. And so
yeah.
I've been influenced with that. And I just, again,
yeah.
I can't emphasize enough. I think it's really, really important for anybody that happens to listen to this, that if you're not somebody that had that, you know, you can, it's a perspective, and you could
you
go
can learn
to that
and
other,
you
can learn.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so
yeah.
glad you said that,
yeah.
because so many of us did not have that, and it's truly possible. And I do get that question a lot. Like, well, can someone really even change once they get past 50? Can they still change? I'm like, oh my gosh, anyone can change anytime if
yep.
they want to, and it's meaningful to them, they can change.
And Kim, you're right, too. And here, science backs it up, all right? The neuroscience backs it up. Doesn't matter how old anybody is. And that, you know, based on the concept of neuroplasticity, a new neural pathway can be caught, you know, as long as the human brain is, you know, is alive and got, you know, it's got blood going to it, all right? So that's it. So we don't really have, you know, we really can't use that as an excuse. Well, I'm over 50. You know, because
exactly.
there's all kinds
Thank
of, and you know, and just to give you, yeah, I mean, that's science based. All right. So now your question again, had to do with how do you, what was the actual about illusion or what
hear,
was like the,
I want to know out of suffering, because I just see
oh,
so
suffering,
many people
suffering yes.
and they're suffering about
yeah.
things that they've made up in their mind that aren't even necessarily
yep.
true.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to just share something that that has been huge, you know, just in my life. It is a non-denominational writing. It was written by Helen Schuckman called A Course in Miracles. And the whole course's premise is that our thoughts are an illusion. And that the root of our suffering is our thoughts. So when you start to play around with this, meaning if you look at the daily lessons, for example, and from a quantum physics perspective, Dr. David Hawkins, you know, when he calibrated this in terms of on the scale of consciousness, if anybody is familiar with that, it calibrated at the level of enlightenment, at the level of light. Which theoretically would make sense if this is something where she was channeled through her and she took the writings down. So with that, what the Course in Miracles says, their definition of miracle is a change in perspective. So what does that mean? Well, when we have a thought, like, you know, I have a thought, Kim, think about this for a second. Is this not the way our programming works? Let's say that, you know, I'm expecting you to do something and then you don't do it. And then I have a thought like, well, you don't care about me anymore, or you're out to get me. All right.
Or you
don't
respect
that's a thought
me.
That I,
or you don't like
or
me.
Or you don't
right.
respect me. Exactly. Any of those things. Now
mm-hmm.
that thought becomes, you know, if I hold to it, it now becomes my truth. Well, you know, Kim doesn't respect me. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to a whole source of behavior. But how do we, you know, how good do we feel when we're talking about somebody else or we're resentful towards somebody else? That's a form of suffering.
Yeah.
And so going back to, you know, what I was saying before about positionality, when we take a position, which a thought, anytime we have a thought, it's a position. You know, Kim doesn't respect me, or I can take a position, Kim does respect me. And if you think about those two different worlds, do I get up in the morning, and if Kim's important to me and I know and I have this illusion that she respects me, I'm going to have a different feeling towards you. My behavior is going to be different versus every time I see you versus when I see you and I think you don't respect me. I'm going to pretend, and this is where all this covert behavior and this leads to an inauthenticity. And now we don't do it on purpose. We do it as a coping mechanism. We've gotten so used to suffering that we think it's the norm, Carolyn Mace talks about this. And I think I did a Facebook post on this a while back about until you know just how toxic you've become. All right. And the toxicity comes from toxic thoughts. And again, I'm not saying that with judgment. All right. But here's what I would say. From a neuroperformance perspective, we look at as something either is resourceful, it's in alignment, or it furthers something for us, and ideally in the name of the highest good, or it doesn't. And so that replay, resourceful or non-resourceful, is from our perspective, is really a more potentially accurate view than right or wrong, because right or wrong, is heavily filled with judgment, where it's just, did it work or didn't it? Did it support what you were looking to do or not? And so even like when you're talking to somebody, you go, this isn't working for me. Okay, what's not working for you? Well, this. Okay. So it sounds like, from that perspective, that what is not working, there's a misalignment, and to realign that in a different way would now be resourceful to support it, and potentially based on what that person wants to accomplish, it's going to move them forward versus getting stuck on, well, it's right or wrong, and then getting bogged down. Because when we're on the right or wrong kind of thing versus resourceful or non-resourceful, you see a difference in the way people move forward.
Mm-hmm. And there's no winner in that scenario.
Mm-mm.
If you want to say winning or losing again, which we're back to another.
Well, and
right? But it's no fun for anybody. Let's do it.
Well, and again, that's why the whole concept in the name of the highest good is really an important concept. So,
mm-hmm.
here's how it really, can make a difference for us is there's nothing wrong with somebody who wants to, make $1 million a year. There's nothing wrong with wanting material things or whatever. The thing about it, though, is that when we are providing, when we're actually doing something for in the name of the highest good, and we place the order to have the material abundance for that, now, we've got, that higher power. I call God the field. You got the field of infinite potential that is now aligned with you, because nature supports things that support nature. All right. So it's that resourceful. If it's resourceful, resourcefulness supports resourcefulness. Now, here's what's interesting. When people go, well, that means resourcefulness is against non-resourceful. No, it's not like that. It's not, it's not a duality here. It's just resourcefulness just looks at something that's resourceful, and it'll keep, redoing that. Non-resourcefulness just keeps looking for non-resourcefulness, and you're on a whole different track.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense?
Being
carried away by momentum will take over, and
that's
totally.
Right. Well, and that's really how, how we end up, on the either having something, getting what we want or not. But even, if you think of the other part about that, though, I think what's really important, if you look at, and you've seen this over the years, you have people who have fame, they have fortune, they have the world by the tail, and then, they are coping with other unresolved things or whatever's happened, sadly some of them end up, taking their lives or whatever. And again, no judgment around that. It's just that if the higher good, you know, we resonate with the higher good. Everybody has that compass inside of them. And when we can be aligned in, you know, in a purpose that feeds us. And I think one of the most important things, you know, potentially, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems to work this way, is most of us, or a lot of us, think that we've got, you know, that our purpose is outside of us and we're out there, you know, shadow boxing with it. And if you listen to the masters and go back, you know, hundreds of years, what you end up hearing them say is that it finds you. You don't find it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Kim, let's look at you, for example, all right? I've known you a long time, and I bet, you know, at an early age, you had an affinity for helping other human beings, other kids or whatever, however that looked, all right? So that was in you. And so what you're doing now, actually, that form found you. Do you understand?
Yes.
And now you may have zigzagged a little bit, and that's, you know, that's called life.
In surprising and good ways, right?
Absolutely.
You know, Ron, I'm gonna switch gears on us because we have about 5 minutes, maybe a little less, and there's one more thing I really want people to be able to hear. Well, there's a lot, and this could talk all day about. So I'm gonna try to set it up succinctly. So I talked about my knee surgery and how I took time off from working out, and you're just such a fountain of health. You're the whole reason why I've been a meditator for over 10 years, probably closer to 15 now, and I've learned so much from you. One of the things I noticed after I had surgery was I really went on this quest to learn about rest, because I realized, because I had to stay still and rest, that I was actually exhausted. And I think maybe 30 years overdue on taking a good rest, or maybe longer. Mm-hmm. So your words about taking time off, taking a break from your workouts really resonated with me. I talked with Sarah DeGray about it a couple weeks ago. She owns our local amazing spinning studio, Rev. So I just wanted you to be able to, instead of me just saying, this is what Ron says, like, can you give us a couple minutes about why resting is important and anything that you think is of the highest value at this moment about that?
Okay. Well, if you look at what Stephen Covey, you know, one of the seventh habits was sharpening the saw. And so, you know, that whole concept, that's really what rest is. Rest is sharpening the saw. And being able to relax, having some downtime, however you do that, becomes really important, because you are sharpening the saw. And for those of the, you know, just, you know, real quick, the sharpening saw metaphor is if Kim and I were cutting down one, you know, a big tree, and we had one of those big saws where, you know, she pulls it towards her, then I pull it towards her. If it's dull, you know, we have a choice we can make. And we're looking at each other and it's dull and we're really not getting anywhere. What Covey would say is pull the saw out and sharpen it. And then people go, well, wait a minute, that's going to take extra time. And, you know, but here's what we know from sharpening the saw. When we come back with a sharp saw, that we're going to go so much farther, faster. So even the time we took actually, you know, puts us farther ahead, because the saw is sharp. Rest is, you know, is much like that as well. And you'll find it with the athletes. Overuse injuries. Good Olympic coaches, you know, understand this. Now they're going to push the athlete push it as far as they can, you know, so they can be that athlete can be prepared and conditioned and everything else. But there can be that breaking point. You know, there is a curve for this where you want to have enough stress, and yet you don't, you know, you want to get it to that sweet spot. If you go too much, that's when, you know, that's when people get injured. And if we want to look at our day-to-day performance in business, when we're not getting a lot of rest and we're tired, we get hangry usually. We get, you know, we get testy with people. And so, you know, think about this. For business people, if you're in in that mode and you're pushing and pushing and pushing, you could lose a major account with a company because you weren't at your best and your response was, you know, was flippant or indifferent. And this client, you catch them on the right day and they're going, you know, I'm done. I'm gonna find somebody who appreciates us.
Right,
you know,
because
so
you
this
weren't
is how
sharp.
It can have an impact.
Like
that's
the
right. That's right. Yeah.
All right, we're going to run out of time. So you know what? For sure, this is going to be continued. We're going to have to do this again and soon because I actually have so many more things I want to ask you about. And I, selfishly, again, I appreciate hearing everything that you have to say. This is why I wanted to do this and do it without talking with you, but I'm anxious to catch up soon this week because I just love hearing your perspective, Ron, and I appreciate it. And I think that maybe it just causes us all to look at things in a little bit of a different way. And, you know, if it doesn't all make sense, you know, just think about what piece of it would you like to explore more. Use curiosity. But you've got so much that you shared with all of us today, and I wish we had more time, and I don't want us to just get cut off, but I really thank you for being here, and really appreciate it, and hope you will have an amazing, and I know you will because you're creating it, 2019.
Well, thank you, Kim. I appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege to be on with you today, and I appreciate your graciousness.
Well, thank you. And I'll catch up with you this week. I can't wait.
Okay.
And thanks,
sounds
everyone,
great.
For
thank
listening.
You.
Oh, Ron, before you go, could you tell everybody how they can find you if they want to know more about what you're up to?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, so you can friend me. I think I still have a little bit of openness there to accept invitations or requests. And then if somebody had a specific question, they certainly could email me at ron@yourperformancepeople.com. We are finishing up our website, and that's yourperformancepeople.com. And then you can always private message me as well.
Yes. So, yes, definitely reach out and follow Ron and see what he's up to. He's always got some great thoughts going out there. And I know they inspire me on a weekly basis. So thank you for that, too, Ron. I appreciate you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.